I should mention I'm formerly of Howard Brown Health Center, currently of University of Pittsburgh Graduate School of Public Health. As you mentioned, I'm going to speak descriptively about the risk behavior profiles of a group of young women who have sex with women. To give you a little bit of background on this topic, which there isn't a lot of, lesbian and bisexual youth are often perceived as a low-risk group. Perhaps most importantly, they perceive themselves to be of low risk. And, I think this is partially because their social proximity to young MSM, they both fall under this LGBT umbrella, and because young MSM are really facing some, immediate and dire health consequences, young WSW become the lower risk group by comparison. There is some research on WSW adults, which suggests pretty much across the board that when you're looking at health risk behaviors, such as smoking, alcohol use, substance uses, those sorts of things, you're seeing higher rates among WSW compared to heterosexual women. But again, very little exists about WSW youth. So my objectives, like I said, to describe the risk behavior profiles of this group of young women, and also to provide a non-WSW comparison where available to kind of contextualize some of these issues. We recruited 153 young women, mostly from community-based organizations, some other venues where we know youth frequent. I do want to note that we did try and avoid venues that are known to kind of facilitate high-risk behavior, like bars or sex clubs, that sort of thing. Respondents were age 16 to 24, and we collected data for approximately a year. This was a sub-study of a larger NIH-funded R03 that was looking at primarily HIV risk behaviors among GLBT youth. And we were given money by the Lesbian Health Fund to increase enrollment of women and also to add some measures that are kind of specific to this population. It was a 90-minute anonymous survey that was done on NACASI, and participants were given $30. We collected information about demographics, substance use behaviors, sexual risk behaviors, as well as a myriad of other psychosocial measures, sexual minority stress, those sort of things that were not, however, included in this current analysis. We ended up with a total N of 137. We did exclude 16 women or men who identified as men. Started the survey as biologically female, but did identify as either male or transgender. The mean age was 19.6. Again, the range was 16 to 24 inclusive. About half the sample identified as lesbian and 45% as bisexual. We had a pretty diverse group as far as race ethnicity is concerned. 40% were white, and about a quarter were Latina and African-American. We also had a pretty diverse range of people identifying their sexual orientation, from attracted to only females, mostly females, so on. Something we weren't really surprised to see in this age group. As far as some of the risk behaviors, alcohol, the majority of the sample did report drinking, 68% greater than one time per month, and about a third of the sample reported binge drinking. We identified or defined binge drinking as five or more drinks in a single evening. One in five of these young women reported binge drinking on a weekly basis. Additionally, 39% said they had done something sexually that they otherwise would not have done because of alcohol. For the substance use, substantial numbers were reporting street drug use, 20%, cocaine being the most popular. And you can see by the graph here, there was pretty substantial differences by race, with the white women being much more likely to report having used street drugs. We also saw 20% using over-the-counter medications to get high, 14% using prescription drugs to get high, and not surprisingly, very high numbers of marijuana use. The tobacco use, I think, was some of the most astounding numbers. 39% reported currently being smokers, and an additional 15% said they were social smokers. And we do know that from other research that the majority of these social smokers will become smokers as they age. Again, there are differences by race, with the Latina women most likely to report report cigarette use. The upside here is that 50% of the sample did report a desire to quit smoking. That's 50% of the smokers. However, 35% have tried unsuccessfully to quit at some point in the past year. To offer a comparison for some of the substance use, I took the data from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, included only the women under the age of 25 from a major metropolitan service area, which gave us an N of 4,445 and a mean age of 19.3. Again, for our WSW sample, the mean age was 19.6. You can see the WSW are in orange, and the national survey data is in blue or teal, I guess. But for both drinking monthly and binge drinking, you're seeing higher rates here among the WSW youth. Also with substance use, much higher rates of cocaine use, meth use. One thing I thought was interesting here is hallucinogens, which were the most commonly used drug among the non-WSW sample, was the least commonly used among the WSW youth. Coke and meth and ecstasy, these are drugs we know that are common among MSM, so I don't know if there's some subcultural things going on here, or if it's geographic or what, but it was just something that I thought was, that I didn't expect to see. Marijuana use, we're seeing high rates among both groups, but again, much higher in the WSW youth, and tobacco use was three times higher among the WSW youth when compared to the national data. As far as sexual behaviors, almost the entire sample was sexually active, sexually active with both men and women. 58% of the women had reported having oral sex with men, and 41% in the last 12 months. There's also high rates of vaginal sex, which 16.5, the mean age of debut, which is lower than non-WSW. I don't know exactly the number, but I do know it's lower. Unfortunately, because our instrument was originally designed for use with men, one of our great limitations is we didn't ask the sex of the partner. So we don't know if they're having vaginal sex with women or men or both. Although looking at the oral sex numbers and also the anal sex numbers, which I'm about to get to, we can certainly assume that they're having vaginal sex with both male and female partners. 26% of the sample reported receptive anal intercourse with a male partner, and 12% reported unprotected receptive anal intercourse with a male partner. Some other sexual behaviors of note, 7% reported exchanging sex for resources. 1 in 5 of these young women reported a pregnancy in their past. A number, again, I did not expect to see. 20% reported sharing toys, which is, we know, with women's sex, a mode that, can definitely transmit disease. 30% reported forced sex. 37% reported multiple partners, which we defined as three or more partners in the past year. They were also using the internet to find partners, having public sex, and sex while intoxicated at very high rates. To compare this, we used data from the 2005 Youth Risk Behavior Survey. One of the limitations here, the YRBS is using a bit younger sample. I believe the mean age is about 18 months younger than our sample. So you can see the WSW are more likely to be sexually active, although that gap would probably lessen if we factored in age. Also, the WSW youth are reporting more having multiple partners. We defined multiple partners as three or more partners in the past year, whereas the YRBS defined it four or more in the lifetime. But you can see great differences there. Also compared to YRBS data, you're seeing among the WSW youth more sexual activity with male partners. So despite the fact that these women are identifying as lesbian or bisexual, we're still seeing higher rates of oral and anal sex with male partners. And also compared to national surveillance data, we're seeing higher rates of pregnancy among this sample. 12% of the sample reported testing positive for an STI at one point, and both the gonorrhea and chlamydia rates were higher among the WSW than the national sample. Although, this population, they do traditionally think of themselves as low risk, so I have a feeling that these numbers are even lower than they should be, since, you know, they may be less likely to test for STIs. Some of the limitations, like I mentioned, the original survey instrument was intended for use with men, so we're definitely missing some of the nuances of what's going on in these young ladies' lives. Also, it's cross-sectional with a small sample, one geographic area, that we have limited ability to infer to a larger population here. Also, it's self-report. We did try and limit that bias by using ACASI, but some does certainly still exist. And also, we have a flawed comparison because, we're not really able to compare apples to apples here. It's hard to say how much of this is just, kids these days and how much is it really, how much is sexual orientation a factor? So in conclusion, we're seeing higher rates of alcohol use, drug use, tobacco use than among heterosexuals. We're also seeing among this population multiple sexual risks, including higher risk sex with men, including, unprotected receptive anal intercourse. There's a lot of research that suggests that when these young women are experimenting sexually with male partners, they're doing so with other sexual minorities, so with MSM. So, this definitely has some high-risk implications. As far as next step, we need to repeat this study with a larger sample and definitely refine instruments. We also need to develop and test some uniquely tailored interventions. This is a population that hasn't been the target of a lot of interventions. And, we see here with smoking cessation particularly, but also substance use and sexual behaviors, we definitely need to put some interventions out there. We also need to develop and disseminate some scientifically based and appropriate materials. I know coming from a sexual health background, that there's very little information for these young women. There's, few pamphlets, and, even on the internet, it's hard to find information that's tailored to these young women, and I think that lack of information really adds to this perception that they're low risk. There's nobody telling them they're not low risk. They're going to go on believing they're low risk. Quickly, I'd like to acknowledge the youth services team at Howard Brown for helping us with this study, but also generally just for being wonderful young people. Also, the Lesbian Health Fund for funding this study, but most importantly, the queer youth of Chicago. Thank you.